Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue brought its commitment count up to 10 for 2020 with two more in the final week of June. A review on Golden Black Radio. And we're one month away from the start of football practice. We'll talk about that as well. Kyle Charters here, Brian Newbert now. We'll talk to Tom Deanhart here in just a couple of minutes. All right, Brian, let's talk some football recruiting. Purdue now up to 10 commitments for 2020, picking up a couple last week. Two guys from New Jersey. Sanusi Kane, a defensive back, and Clyde Washington, a linebacker. Let's start with the more recent. Purdue gets Kane, good size, 6 foot, 190-pounder, maybe a safety nickelback from New Jersey. What are your thoughts on the latest commitment?
Yeah, well, he seems like a guy who obviously checks a lot of boxes as a defensive back. In terms of his athleticism, his size, his physical readiness, but also I think he's a big time substance kind of guy. I think he's a great student. Yeah. I think he's a guy like Clyde Washington who really, really wants to be at Purdue. I think from everything I understand, he's a really, really good human being. He's from New York City, goes to school an hour away in New Jersey at a prep school, probably more of a college type environment. He's going to be at Purdue mid-year. So I think there's a lot of other things in addition to him just being a good football player that really bring value to him. I think he was a guy that I think I'm kind of guessing here. I'm kind of extrapolating from some things here. But, you know, Purdue did not need another safety in this class. This was not a need necessarily. So that probably tells you how much value they put on Sanusi Kane, that they wanted to, you know, find room for him in what's going to be a small class. I think anytime you have versatility in the secondary, I think that really helps you, especially nowadays when your safeties have to guard so many different types of people, cover so many different types of people. I just think there's a lot of things here that reflect a lot of value Purdue saw in this guy. I know people look at the two-star ranking, but they don't look at the 25 offers. Right off the bat, but I think this is a better get than the casual glance might suggest.
Clyde Washington committed earlier in the week, a linebacker with some pretty good size, especially when he puts on a little bit of weight. Does he stay a linebacker at Purdue? Is there a chance he moves down to sort of a rush end type position, or is that yet to be determined?
Well, they recruit they recruited him as a linebacker. They worked him out solely at camp as a linebacker. Yeah. And I wouldn't anticipate there being any sort of short-term change there. You never know how a player is going to develop physically. I don't know enough about him if he has the sort of quick twitch, whatever you'd want in a pass rusher necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I don't see any reason to think he's anything but a linebacker in the short term. Purdue needs linebackers. I mean, they've recruited this class like linebacker is their priority. They're obviously willing to take a bunch of them in a class where it'll be an outsized percentage of the class dedicated to linebacker, it would seem like. But that just speaks to what Purdue is looking for from a positional priority perspective, which is really hard to say. And if you say that 10 times fast, positional priority perspective, that can probably tie in knots. Anyway, Purdue needs linebackers. Purdue worked him out at linebacker. Purdue loved him at linebacker. Purdue took him at linebacker. So I think that's kind of where things are, at least in the short term.
You mentioned the two stars, both these guys, two-star guys. Now, here's my feeling on that, you know, Jeff Brohm, I think in his short tenure here, has proven that he and his staff can go out and recruit. So until they show me otherwise, I'm going to believe that, they're finding guys maybe that others are not. Regardless of where they are from a star point of view, what's your take on that?
My take is the difference between a two-star recruit and a three-star recruit everybody would be perfectly content with is one decimal point on Rivals.com. And the reality is, what is that?
Yeah.
I don't want to get in the business of, you know, undercutting our very business in terms of what we're associated with in terms of ranking recruits and whatnot. But I think, you know, when people go over the moon over a 4-star, or they go under the moon, whatever the opposite of going over the moon would be, over a 2-star, I think, you know, it's a little bit flawed. But, you know, I understand, you know. Understand perception, obviously, but I also understand that, you know, when Sanusi Kane has 25 offers and a staff like Purdue's goes out of its way to get him in its recruiting class, chances are he's a better prospect than the 2 stars next to his name might suggest. But, you know, a 2-star can hit just as likely as a 4-star can bust too. I mean, I think if you look at Purdue alone's history with that sort of thing, that reflects reality better than anything. As soon as all of these dudes get to campus, everything resets. So it is entertainment, and that's the business we are in.
Probably a half dozen or so spots remaining. Seems to me the defensive line, especially on the interior defensive line, has got to be a pretty big priority for at least one, if not a couple, of these remaining spots, right?
Yeah, I would think they'd try to get at least 2 defensive linemen into the class from here on out. And that's sort of the area where, you know, June didn't really go a very long way to address. Whether that was by design or not, I don't know. You have to take the visitors when you can get them. And perhaps it just so happened that a bunch of players at a certain position weren't taking June visits. I know a couple of the guys Purdue is super interested in, at least in terms of interior defensive linemen, Bryce Austin and Octavius Oxendine, didn't really take all their visits in June, didn't really take a bunch of visits in June. I know Bryce Austin went to Pitt. But I think Purdue's in great shape with Bryce Austin, and whenever they bring him in, it's almost immaterial. Octavius Oxendine is a very highly recruited player, and I think he's pretty set on taking his visits during the season. In terms of defensive ends and whatnot, I don't really know if they brought in anybody other than Eddie Watkins last week, who left saying Purdue is his number one school. But he's going to take the rest of his visits in season. So I think it just so happened that in terms of defensive linemen, a lot of the guys Purdue was looking at, they're more inclined to visit during the season as opposed to in June. And I think that's going to be sort of the story of Purdue's class here largely too, is they're going to have to do a lot more during the season than they did last year, just because you have more guys who want to take visits in September and October. And that might actually help Purdue, because if Purdue has the sort of season I know it hopes to have, things are lining up for potentially have, with the way that, you know, Ross 8 Stadium has changed over the last couple of years, you have a lot more to show off during an in-season official visit. I know that a lot of coaches aren't thrilled about hosting in-season official visits because they got a lot going on, but it does show a player a lot different things and probably a lot more valuable elements of your program than a June official visit would. So Purdue's going to bring in some, you know, probably higher end guys during the season and probably end up with a couple of them. And that was sort of the story of June too. They brought in a lot of players with a lot of great offers, got their share. And I'm starting to see some people get a little antsy over some of the guys Purdue's not getting. Well, you know, Purdue wasn't going to become Ohio State or Michigan or Florida State or Georgia overnight. I mean, it's not – Purdue's recruiting has transformed over the last 3 years, but they are not, you know, getting everyone they want right away. That was never going to be the case. This was always going to be a probably lower batting average sort of June than last year, because Purdue is competing for a higher level of player. All these guys who came in have multiple Power Five offers. And that's just an alternate reality compared to where Purdue was just a couple of summers ago.
June often now these days, the month for football, July for basketball. So here we are at the start of July, and Purdue sitting in a pretty good spot with a couple of commitments. Does it have to be center for that third spot? Obviously, Purdue is in pretty hard on Hunter Dickinson. Does it have to be that position, though, to round out this class?
No, not at all. I think if Hunter Dickinson wasn't, realistic, it might not be. You know, Purdue might be just looking for another forward. I think Purdue put itself in a position with Hunter Dickinson where center became the priority because of Hunter Dickinson, because he's realistic, because Purdue has a shot at him, a very real shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
And, Purdue, when you look at center, you've still got Matt Harms for one more year after this season. You still got Travion Williams for two more years, and you still have Emmanuel Dewona in the program. Obviously, he's the least proven commodity of those players, but you still have bodies there. You still have enough to get by. And you could take a forward now and a center in 2021. You could take a center now and a forward in 2021. If you can get the right center, you have that flexibility where you can take another center, or you can just take the best available front court player you can get. I don't think it matters all that much either, because obviously Purdue needs some of its young players in the program right now at forward to be good. It needs Aaron Wheeler to be the standout people hope he can be. It needs Mason Gillis to be the player Matt Painter coveted in high school, that people haven't seen in a year and a half because he's been hurt. But Purdue needs some guys to emerge in the front court. If they do, Purdue has the flexibility to kind of kick the forward can down the road to 2021 and take the best available player. And the best available player would be Hunter Dickinson. Now, if you get Hunter Dickinson, you have a really good problem to have, because he joins a roster that should still have Matt Harms and Travion Williams on it. So you aren't recruiting Hunter Dickinson to, back anybody up, shall we say. And that would be really interesting, but that would be the best kind of problem to have, probably.
Yeah, conversation for another time, perhaps. You were in Carmel a couple times over the weekend. Saw some of Purdue's prospects, both committed and for 2020 and down the road potentially as well. What stood out to you?
Trey Kaufman is really good. The 2021 forward they just offered, I think, is probably on the verge of pretty big things. I see a little bit of a dialogue in terms of on our message boards in terms of Trey Kaufman versus Caleb Furst. Well, Caleb Furst, the games I saw Friday night, basically dominated smaller players in the post. Not necessarily smaller players, but he also dealt with a lot of extra attention from secondary defender perspectives. Trey Kaufman had a 35-point game, whatever they credit him with, against Hamilton Southeastern, but he also had a 7-2 guy guarding him on the perimeter. And both of them just completely abused their matchups. And I think that was sort of that sort of illustrated the difference between the two, where Caleb Furst is more of a low post player right now. Trey Kaufman is more of a perimeter player right now, growing into a post player, whereas Caleb Furst is going to grow into more of a perimeter player, I think, but he's okay at that now. He's not necessarily Vince Edwards or whoever it might be in terms of his guard skills, but he has a good base there. And Trey Kaufman has a good base as a post player. Both of those guys for the next 2 years are going to expand their games to become more complete inside-outside type of guys. But both of them are very good at what they do right now. Both of them are high school juniors. Also, it should be kept in mind. They have two more years before they get to college. So poking holes in their games now in terms of top 100 type of players with big-time offers already, you're not evaluating the finished product here. Both of them are very good at what they do best right now, to the point where they're very highly recruited players, and both of them are going to spend the next 2 years expanding their skill sets to round out their games even more. Both of them are going to wind up being very, very high-level recruits.
Much more about basketball recruiting on the website, including a nice breakdown here at the beginning of July. Be sure to check that out at goldandblack.com. Hey, thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, let's take a break. We are 1 month away from the start of Purdue football practice. We'll talk about that and much more with Tom Dienhart coming up here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
If you are looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Kyle here with Tom. Talk a little bit of football, Tom, and believe it or not, we are one month away from the start of practices over there on Northwestern. Can you believe it?
Buckle your chin strap and go up to the top shelf of your closet and get your eye black, buddy. Yeah, 1 month from today, you know, they'll be lacing them up over there, like you said, along busy Northwestern Avenue, 2019 Purdue football will be underway, my friend. It's hard to believe. A lot of intrigue drips when you talk about Jeff Rom's third team, Kyle. Expectations will continue to rise. And you covered the team for a long time, but you even have envisioned Purdue going 13-13 with two bowls in Jeff Rom's first 2 years back in 2017 when he took over?
No, not a chance. I watched way too much practice. Way too much practice with a couple of players who maybe shouldn't have been out there to think that Purdue could have done that in 2 seasons. But you're right, expectation levels do go up now in year three. I know you will try to take a look at some of those expectations from outside sources here soon on the website. Maybe see a little about what Lindy's and Phil Steele and all those magazines think about the Boilermakers. Probably a little bit of mixed opinion there, I would imagine.
Yeah, mixed bag is a good way to put it, Kyle. you know, while there's a lot to be excited about, if you're a Purdue fan, obviously there's questions that nag at the roster. Offensive line being one of the biggest, the interior, of course. Running back, can Sindelar stay healthy? How will the pass rush be? Can Purdue get heat without having a blitz? Things of that nature. But more so than anything, Kyle, you know, the other Big Ten West teams obviously aren't standing still. I mean, P.J. Fleck, he's got some mojo. A lot of the pundits love the Gophers this year. The biggest darling, though, is Nebraska. Year two under Scott Frost. I mean, anybody with a keyboard and a computer that has a blog is just drooling over the Frost. And a lot of them are picking Nebraska to win the Big Ten West this year. I think they may be a year ahead of schedule. I like Iowa, but still, again, they love the Cornhuskers. Again, as for Purdue, Kyle, you know, as you alluded to, probably picked right now, if you look at these magazines, middle of the pack at this point. But as we know, these things are typically worth what they're printed on, which is cheap paper.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We'll find out a lot more. What are the biggest storylines? You probably mentioned a couple of them there here as we get into this last month before practice starts. You want to know the health of the team, health of Elijah Sindelar in particular, that offensive line and how it comes together, maybe whether there's still the possibility of a late grad transfer here before the start of training camp, and, you know, probably what newcomers are rising here during the summer months as well. Those ones the big ones for you as we get set for media day in Chicago, and then practice a week or two after that?
Yeah, July 18th to the 19th on a Thursday and a Friday up in Chicago. That's Big Ten Media Day this year. Like you said, some of the big talking points we discussed here earlier. You brought up grad transfer, offensive line. Those two subjects have been, buzzwords, so to speak, on message boards and among any Purdue fans. Wanting, will Purdue once again add grad transfer talent on the O-line? We all know it needs it so far. No news on that front. I know Purdue has continued to shop, kick tires. Obviously, if nobody's been added at this point, you wonder if there's anybody out there they merit bringing in. Don't want to close the door. I'm sure they could bring somebody in right after the start of camp, but I wouldn't hold my breath, I guess, at this point. So we'll see how that develops. But, yeah, that O-line, I give Dale Williams, the O-line coach, credit. He's been able to cobble together some pretty, solid lines from a situation that when Brom walked in the door, as you know, Kyle, that O-line was a total disaster.
Yeah. There were pieces, pieces.
I was going to say, is that an overstatement?
Yeah. I mean, they had a couple pieces, but, man, on the offensive line, you need more than two or three guys. No doubt about that, especially with the injuries that can happen. We'll see where Purdue is with that from the start of practice and then that first game. Let's see, what else? We'll watch those newcomers, I'm sure, as well, because there are a couple that we've already seen in the spring and a couple more added here during the summer that you think are going to play pretty big roles.
Yeah, running back in particular. Tario Fuller's probably going to be the guy. The stuff Xander Horvath, of course. Will Richie Worship be healthy? Who knows? Fingers are crossed. But by and large, that's a unit that could probably use a little injection of talent. And Purdue's bringing in a couple good, what appear to be good running backs here. DeJuan Hewitt from the Nashville, Tennessee area, and King Daru from West Texas. So I wouldn't be shocked if those guys can figure out blitz pickup and can handle their assignments, don't fumble the ball. Maybe they could carve out significant niches at some point this year. You all know about Karlaftis, of course, the guys in the back end of the defense like Jalen Graham, maybe Marvin Grant, another safety from the Detroit area, Dante Hunter, defensive end from Columbus, Ohio. Are some pretty exciting guys, I think. So, this class is ranked 26th in the country by rivals at the end of the 2019 recruiting cycle. Purdue's most talented class, I think, since the early 2000s, Kyle. So, wouldn't be shocked if several of these guys maybe carve out, some nice roles this fall.
Yeah. We'll certainly be watching, Tom. Thanks for the update.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take one more break. We'll be back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Much more on Purdue football and basketball recruiting on the site right now at goldenblack.com. Be sure to check that out to get up to date, especially with basketball recruiting at the start of July. Okay, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charter Steam, Remax Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. We'll be back again 10 o'clock next Monday for our next podcast. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.